meeting to order, and if the clerk will note the roll. We have the minutes for April 25th, and Representative Rhodes, would you like to make a motion?
No.
No?
I will so move the March 25th minutes that are so ably and wonderfully done.
All right.
If I don't say that, I'll be in trouble.
Okay. Representative Rhodes moves the April 25th minutes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion then prevails. Members, there will be a sign-up sheet coming around for the final minutes. Ms. Carter will be putting it together, and then over the next couple of days, we'll be, somebody will be contacting you to sign off on the final minutes to close out the committee for this year. And Ms. Roberts and Mr. Jordahl and I need to go down to state to Ways and Means and present our state government finance bill in a few minutes. So Representative Hilty, if you'd like to chair the meeting today, I would appreciate it.
Certainly.
And then what I'd like to do is thank the staff who was really working hard this year and putting a lot of time to make sure everything is ready for our meetings and clean up after us and that. So, Colin, we really appreciate all the work you've done this year. And my able assistant for years, Pat Carter, has just been very important to me over the years, and I really appreciate all the hard work she's put in. And Mark and Helen, for all the work you've guys have put in to give me the right advice I need on a lot of the issues. I really appreciate it and all the input and the hard work you do for all the committee members. And Jared for being my right-hand man the last year and 2 years and giving me some good counsel and advice on the issues as we work through them. So I do appreciate all the help of the staff. So you did a great job the last 2 years, and I know I really appreciate it, as do the rest of the members. So good to have you. With that, Representative Hilty, I'll turn the gavel over to you, and then I will. We have the broad bill before us, and then we'll be set. So, thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, in that case, I would like to move.
So, Representative Brad, House File 2905. Representative Brad, I believe that we have a fiscal note that leaves you with some explaining to do.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd like some explaining on it as well. I guess I know that all of you were in the state government committee when I did present the bill, so maybe what I could do is avoid presenting the bill any further. But this is an opportunity, as I see it, for the departments and the state of Minnesota to save some money. I did receive a fiscal note today that shows a $73,000 cost to the state. I do have some questions about how that was arrived at, and actually question some of the assumptions that were made within the fiscal note, in addition to the fact that it does not indicate, as many fiscal notes don't, any savings that actually occur to the state. So I just have significant questions, and I do know there are some folks here from the Department of Administration. There may be an opportunity for us to tighten up some language to get to really where we wanted to be. There was not, on our part, a will to open contracting and purchasing of the state of Minnesota having to review contracts that are done throughout the entire nation. And that's what I see in this fiscal note. So I do question some of the assumptions. We may be able to tighten up the language. I'd be happy to do that.
Representative Broad, did you have an amendment then that you wish to offer?
Or? Well, I certainly would do that. I guess the way that we were looking at things, and maybe without offering the amendment, I'll toss out the idea for the amendment, and then maybe the committee could react to it at that point.
Okay.
We really want to make sure that the Department of Administration and departments in general are able to take advantage of something that is already occurring here in the state of Minnesota through the National Joint Powers Alliance. it's local, it's from Minnesota, and that's what we really want to get at, is to have those eligibilities for the department. So I guess what I would propose in that regard would be online, you know, I don't have, let's see, the new bill, here we go. Okay, on line 13, what I would say is after the word bid, I would suggest bid by the National Joint Powers Alliance. It's my understanding, and maybe Mr. Nevis or Mr. Hyde can explain further if you wish, but it's my understanding that essentially two National Joint Purchasing Alliances in the United States, is that correct? And so what we want to do is have that leverage, that ability to save money for the state by the local group, which is this National Joint Powers Alliance.
Mr. Chair.
Any gentleman wish to testify? Yeah.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just so you understand, the National Joint Powers Alliance, once again,
please
is a...
give your name for the tape. Sir.
Excuse me. My name is Gary Hiss, the Executive Director of the North Central Service Cooperative and the National Joint Powers Alliance. NJPA is a joint powers organization. That means that under Minnesota Statute 471.59, any government that can legally do something on its own can legally do it with another government or other governments. And we offer that opportunity statewide and also in all 50 states. And as a result of that, we have about 3,800 political subdivisions that are taking advantage of this joint powers opportunity. In Minnesota, the present statute does not allow state agencies to participate in our program simply because the state has not signed a joint powers agreement with the National Joint Powers Alliance, although six other states have. Okay? As a result of that, we have done an extensive search. The National Joint Powers Alliance is trademarked, and we're in the process of registering our trademark, and we can find no other joint powers alliances or cooperatives in the country that we know of. The only other one that comes close is called U.S. Communities, and some of you may have heard of U.S. Communities. U.S. Communities is not a joint powers alliance. It's not a cooperative. It's an association of governments and simply operates that way. For when they go out to bid, one of their members pulls the bid contract, and then other agencies can piggyback, if you will, off of that contract. That's not the way we work. The way we work is under a joint powers arrangement, under the statute, operating with a public agency, a publicly elected board, an audited board that's domiciled, the corporation is domiciled in the state of Minnesota. So in reading through the fiscal assumptions, if you will, we will agree that if all of these possibilities are considered, it would be a terrible amount of work. That's not what we're after here today. What we're after here today is an opportunity for state agency heads to meet needs that they have right now and into the near future. We have had many requests from state agency heads to use our copier contract, our roofing contract, our carpeting contract. Okay? Those are the three that we've had requests on. So rather than expect the Department of Administration to have a full-time person on hand to deal with all these contracts that are going to come in their direction as a result of this statute, we'd be willing to limit it to only those contracts where we've had requests. So, for example, if the bill passes as amended by Representative Broad, we wouldn't bother the Department of Administration at all until a state agency head came to us and said, we'd like to purchase under your contract in this area. At that time, then we would go to DOA and we would set up an appointment and we'd say, let us meet with one of your contracts administrators and go over our contract with them to make sure that we meet all the state requirements under the statutaries that are identified here. We figured that it would take no more than 2 hours to go through the entire contract in each specific case, because when NJPA bids a contract, we bid it requiring the responders to the bid to meet all federal, state, and local requirements. So as an example, the biggest contract that we're talking about here is our copier contract. That's the one that your state agency heads are asking for. The state of Minnesota has awarded a contract to Sharp Electronics for copy machines. So have we. The state of Minnesota has all of its requirements laid out for Sharp, and they've met them. We bid our contract after that. When we required Sharp to meet the requirements of the state of Minnesota's contracts, they of course did that because they already knew what they were, because they have a contract with the state of Minnesota. Now, the savings come in here. We've done an across-the-board study of all the models and all the accessories that go with that machine. And it's at least a 20% savings through our nationally purchased volume contract than it is the state of Minnesota. One specific example that we just looked at is the 35-copy machine that the state has bid with Sharp versus our price is a 26.89% savings. Those are the dollars that are being lost every day that state agency heads go out and purchase Sharp copiers, if you will, or other products. And it's because the state of Minnesota has a great volume, but our 3,800 political subdivisions, of course, has a much greater volume. And we'd like to bring that opportunity here to the state of Minnesota and its agency heads. And if it can't be done, then we will have done our job by saying we gave our best shot. It just can't work in Minnesota, and we'll feel okay. But if it can be done, if we can write the language to work with the Department of Administration, we're not trying to compete with them. We're trying to add value to what they do. And if we can do that, then it'll be a lucky day for all taxpayers in the state. Thank you.
Questions, members? Representative Strong?
Mr. Chair, if you'd like, I will offer the oral amendment offer by Representative Brock.
Representative Brown, did you wish to offer that amendment?
If Representative Strand would do so, that would be great.
As I understood it, that would be on line 13, after the word bid, insert the words by the National Joint Powers Alliance. Is that correct?
Correct.
And Mr. Shepard has a question about that. If you explain that, Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chairman, just for Representative Broad and the witnesses, was it your intent to delete any of the rest of that sentence?
Yes, thank you. Right. Yes, it would delete then two purchasing alliances or cooperatives. That whole entire sentence, Mr. Shepard. Yes, thank you.
Down to be eligible. And Representative Brad, what would this accomplish?
Well, the thought is I really think this will tighten up in regards to the concerns that are addressed in the fiscal note that we're going to require the state of Minnesota to review contracts that are being bid essentially throughout the nation. So I do think that this will identify it to really whittle it down to a few contracts that are good contracts that are bid big contracts.
Perhaps before we vote on the amendment, since I see Mr. Allen is here, we should ask him to share his observations.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a quick question?
Representative Strong.
I think it's to Mr. Shepard. Is it, assuming this is a quasi-governmental agency or a nonprofit, is it permissible to name a specific firm in statute like that?
Mr. Shepard?
Mr. Chair and members, I think it would be permissible. I'm just trying to think out loud, and Mr. Allen may.
Mr. Chair, if that is a concern, Representative Strand, we certainly can change the amendment to state something of the sort of national joint powers located in Minnesota. So that way we're not specifically identifying the National Joint Powers Alliance, but we are really tightening that web in case maybe another national alliance would at some point come forward in the state of Minnesota, even though there are only two nationally at the current time. Would that?
Whatever works, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Shepard?
Mr. Chair and members, I might suggest instead of saying by the National Joint Powers Alliance, to say by a National Joint Powers Alliance?
Or National Purchasing Alliance? What's the best term within the...
Well, we're using, Mr. Chair and Mr. Shepherd, we're using the language from the Minnesota Municipal Contracting Law. We're using the exact words from there. So probably would be use words National Purchasing Alliance.
By a National Purchasing Alliance?
Yeah. Located in the state of Minnesota.
Okay.
Would that be
domiciled
acceptable?
In the state of Minnesota.
That would be.
Yes, if you would, Mr. Shepherd, please read the amendment in its current form.
Mr. Chair and members, the amendment will be on page 1, line 13, to delete everything after the word bid and insert by a National Purchasing Alliance domiciled in Minnesota, and then delete line 14, and on line 15, delete everything before the period.
All right, that's the amendment as moved by Representative Strand. Mr. Allen, did you care to share your observations?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kent Allen, Department of Administration. I think Representative Broad is correct that this would reduce the volume of contracts that we would be expected to analyze in detail. I do have some concern about sort of the preferential treatment being given to one or a handful of organizations as they're now defined. I mean, there are any number of purchasing alliances, and any of those could conceivably have contracts that would be advantageous for the state of Minnesota. And as the bill is drafted, we would ignore the contracts from other alliances and give preferential treatment to those of this particular organization. To the extent that this was intended to address the workload issue, it does a good job of addressing the workload issue.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. I appreciate Mr. Allen's testimony. I actually don't think the language actually precludes the Department of Administration from recognizing those other contracts. It simply states that they shall recognize this type of contract. And maybe Mr. Shepherd reads it differently than I do.
Mr. Shepherd?
Mr. Chair and members, it might help if you look in the bill on page 1, line 11, there's a reference. It says, when consistent with section 16C06, subdivision 4. If you read section 16C06, subdivision 4, it says that the commissioner may award a contract to more than one vendor if, in the opinion of the commissioner, it's in the best interest of the state. So this is somewhat permissive, I think. There's also a current law that authorizes the commissioner to enter into cooperative purchasing agreements with one or more states or governmental units that are participating under a joint powers agreement. So I'd like to perhaps talk with Representative Broad before this goes to Ways and Means to try to clarify exactly where the bill is right now. But I do think through the combination of this bill and other laws, there would be some flexibility.
Representative Kahn?
Mr. Chairman, from what you just read in section C.06, why is this bill needed? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. That before, so I think we had it in Gov. Op too. But it sounds like what section C06 says, they could do it anyway.
I can take a stab at that. I think
Representative Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that there is permissive language that is currently set up in statute. What we're trying to do is elevate the purchasing alliances to a level a little bit above that. And so in that sense, yeah, I suppose we are creating a little bit of preferential treatment. However, the state can still have the authority to enter into these contracts. I think from our perspective, and actually maybe Mr. Needis can talk from their perspective, but I think that they're not seeing that happen. And so this is to elevate that to a position where the state shall consider those contracts as opposed to may. Maybe Mr. Nitas, Representative Kahn, could answer that a little better.
Representative Kahn?
Mr. Nitas? I just send them a letter instead of passing a law.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, we tried that. And the answer is that as a result of our efforts over the last 8 years, the University of Minnesota is now taking advantage of our contracts. MinSCU is taking advantage of our contracts. Both have written a letter to them, to all their department heads and their agency heads, indicating that we are a viable solution to their purchasing. The state of Minnesota, Department of Administration, Procurement Section Materials Management Division, has told our agency heads that they shall not. And that's what we're trying to get at here. We don't come here because we're trying to build volume or become an empire. We come here because your agency heads have asked us to come here with this language.
Mr. Allen.
Mr. Chair, I would take exception to the claim that we have said that no one can use these. We have always been willing to assess contracts, and the instances in which, as this is written, it could apply are instances where we're already doing a multiple award contract. And you're right, Representative Kahn, there's no reason we couldn't add these when we're already doing a multiple award contract. If the contracts in question met the requirements of state law, MinSCU and the University of Minnesota don't have nearly as rigid a set of statutory requirements related to environmental issues, affirmative action, support for Minnesota small businesses. The legislature, in its wisdom, asks that the state require all those elements to be in state contracts. And one of the previous amendments to this, which makes it something that we can live with, is saying that for these contracts to now be considered for state use, they would also need those requirements. But historically, they haven't met all of those requirements. And we've never said we're not willing to work with you or consider these.
Well, Representative Kahn.
I guess I still don't see the need.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kahn, thank you for your comments. The bill does a couple of things that aren't set up. It does require that these contracts fall within the guidelines that are already set forth for the state in terms of procurement. And it also does two things. Is right now, the state may save money. What they're trying to do is elevate it to a point where they shall save money. Let's give our departments, let's give our state agencies an ability to make some, to just have an additional choice. That's what this is, and we're just essentially saying we should elevate that to an additional choice.
Representative Kahn.
Again, from everything I've heard, they have that choice. They have that choice, and if you've now added this amendment saying that they have to require, that they have to comply with all of the things that state contracts have to comply with, I don't understand why they just can't go in as part of the bidding process. And
I would like to say that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to say that would be true, but I still would put forward that this bill is going to provide another opportunity for the state to save money.
Representative Kahn.
Am I the only one who's having difficulty with understanding this? From what I've understood from Mr. Allen and from what I've understood from the, and I'm sorry I wasn't here at the beginning, but I think we heard this. As I understand it, state agencies can contract with the National Joint Powers Alliance. The Department of Administration can contract with them, provided particularly just, I mean, now in law you've said that they have to comply with the requirements of this chapter, but if the state contract had to comply with those before, you don't need to repeat it again in the law. I don't understand what passing this does other than sending a letter and, you know, maybe asking for explanations when you know that a bid has gone in. Pick a case, which I'm sure the witness must pick out where there would have been a chunk of money saved and say, why wasn't this chosen? Why wasn't this chosen? And make the Department of Administration answer that. It seems that's much more useful than passing a bill, which I still haven't been able to understand makes any change in our purchasing powers.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, and I can assure you all that if there are contracts available that comply with the requirements of the state law and they would save money for agencies, we would be not only happy but enthusiastic about taking advantage of those.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Brad.
I would maybe ask Mr. Allen to tell me why they haven't then in the past tried to take advantage of those programs that are currently out there.
Mr. Allen?
Mr. Chair, Representative Broad, the contracts that have been put in place by these alliances in many cases have not complied with Minnesota state laws. And again, there's special provisions relating to the environment relating to affirmative action. Those are issues that haven't been taken into account. And there's no reason these alliances should have because they weren't required to do so. But at the same time, we can't honor them as the state purchasing agency unless they do. And as this law is written, they still would have to comply. They would have to comply with those requirements for us to consider them. And with or without this law, if they comply with those requirements and if we can save money, it's a win-win. We're all happy.
Well, Mr. Allen, am I understanding this correctly that presumably the reason for this bill would be to make clear that the alliance does need to comply with the requirements of state procurement law, or is it simply redundant?
Mr. Chair, I think it's probably redundant, but it certainly makes that evident if there's any doubt.
And Mr. Allen, let me ask, with the amendment as it's proposed, would that result in an alteration of the fiscal note that's attached to this bill?
Mr. Chair, it would reduce the size of the task considerably. So, yes.
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, continuing the same line of questioning but in a different direction, Mr. Allen, does this bill do any harm other than duplicate some language in the procurement, kind of repeat some language in the procurement statute? I think the fiscal note goes to zero because you're just analyzing contracts, and if they've applied for a contract, that's, you know, you'd have to analyze them whether this exists or not.
Mr. Allen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, I think this does anticipate that we do more than allow these alliances to respond to the state's solicitations.
Where does that do that?
When we are doing a multiple award, which is the 16 CO6 Subdivision 4 requirement, we shall expand the choices available by recognizing contracts bid by a National Joint Powers Alliance.
Well,
maybe the bid by does cover that. I mean, what we had been anticipating is that, for example, we have 200-some contracts awarded to multiple vendors. And the alliances would, under this law, before it was amended today at least, would have been able to bring us...
Okay, we're talking about the amendment now.
Representative Kahn?
We're talking about the bill as it's amended.
I had anticipated that even when we have existing contracts, that an alliance could bring us a contract that they didn't bid to us and say, please add us to your list of state vendors, because our contract meets your state requirements. But you might well be right by that with the new language saying bid by, perhaps that's not an issue.
I mean, and if all this is saying is that these, the National Drug Growers Alliance has the opportunity to bid along with everybody else, I don't see that as any change to the status quo, and I don't see any harm in that, and I don't see us having to do any work we wouldn't do anyway.
Well, members, since there doesn't really seem to be any contention regarding the amendment, we're talking about what the amendment might accomplish. We have not moved on the amendment. I think what we should do is, first of all, consider the amendment, and then we'll decide what to do after that. So, Representative Strand, if you want to renew your motion on the amendment, perhaps we should have Mr. Shepard remind us of what that would be.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, the amendment is on page 1, line 13, to delete everything after bid and insert by a national purchasing alliance domiciled in Minnesota, and then delete the rest of the sentence on line 14 and 15 up to the period.
I'll renew that motion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Now, through the bill, Mr. Allen.
Mr. Chair, there is ambiguity in my mind as to what bid by means. Does that mean the National Alliance has responded to a state of Minnesota solicitation, or does that mean that the contract that we're being asked to consider has been bid by the Alliance? And those are different situations, and we would have to respond. I mean, to implement this law, we need to know what that means.
Representative Bryant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'll yield to Mr. Nedis. I think the intent is the latter, but I'll yield to Mr. Nedis.
Mr. Chair, Nedis. Members of the committee, what we're talking about here is the tail wagging the dog. The National Joint Powers Alliance represents governments in all 50 states and 4 foreign countries. The state of Minnesota does an excellent job in procurement. There's no question about it. Their volumes, the volume purchasing that they do is wonderful. It can be greatly enhanced by joining this national effort. And what we do is bid on behalf of our members, just like the state of Minnesota bids on behalf of its agency. Okay? For the state of Minnesota to determine what the National Joint Powers Alliance is going to bid or not bid isn't going to work. Okay? What we bid and don't bid is decided by our membership. Therefore, what we're saying is that if there is an agency head that would like to purchase from a contract that's been bid by the National Joint Powers Alliance, we would like statutory authority then to come to the Department of Administration and say, there's been a request by one of your agency heads to purchase from us under a contract that we have bid. Therefore, will you please look at our contract and within a matter of a couple of hours decide whether or not we meet state of Minnesota requirements? And if so, would you write us a letter indicating to your agency heads that it's okay to buy this product under this contract from this National Purchasing Alliance? And if you do that, it should be good for the duration of that bid, and then the state of Minnesota's agencies will be able to save some money. We don't see this as a very involved, difficult program. If we never get a request from an agency head, it'll never happen.
Representative Kahn.
Well, what I don't understand is, what's the problem? An agency needs something, so they put out a bid. And in putting out that bid, you respond to it as anyone else does, with what your, with you know, this established contract. So you're not using it to establish the contract. You're putting your established contract in. It just seems we're looking at a timing that's that just fits much better into the state purchasing arrangement. What's your problem with doing that?
Mr. Nunez.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, the problem is that it's not happening, okay? We did $26 million worth of Sharp copier sales to 3,800 members in the last 12 months. Not one single copier was sold to a state, Minnesota state agency.
Oh.
What I'm saying is, you know, now you've raised the level to the attention of the legislature, you've raised the level to the attention of the Department of Administration. I don't understand how this is different than just participating in the regular bidding, the regular bidding process. And I don't understand why you need anything else than participating in the regular bidding process. Seems, it's, it does seem that Minnesota would go through a regular bid process, people would submit bids, and then an agency would find out about you who hadn't gone into that bidding process, I don't know why, and then come back and say, oh, even though you've all decided this, I can get this cheaper through this way. And it just doesn't seem to make any sense, whereas you're just going into the bidding process at the beginning seems to make sense to me, and I don't understand what the problem is with doing that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, the state of Minnesota...
Don't tell me that it hasn't happened, because, you know, then somebody ought to be being charged with malfeasance or something like that if there's some reason why they haven't been taking the lowest qualifying bids. And that's the whole sense now, you know, with the compliance, which you now agree to, of all those of 16B, etc.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, just so you understand, University of Minnesota, Minsky, all the counties, all the school districts.
I've heard that three times.
Okay.
The university, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, the state of Minnesota has slightly different bidding requirements. As I understand, they've been written into this bill so that you can't avoid those slightly different bidding requirements. So now, what's the problem with just entering that bidding process just like everyone else does, which seems to me to be a more level, a level playing field?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, just as one example, now you understand the state of Minnesota has 1,600 contracts, and this is just one example. The one that we run into, the copy machines. State of Minnesota's bid is a multiple award bid, from what I understand, and it's for rental of copy machines only. Some of the state agency heads that are housed in greater Minnesota who are officed next door to counties and cities and school districts and other agencies that can purchase from us cannot understand why they have to, through the state of Minnesota, rent a copy machine that ends up costing them more money than what it would cost if they use our program. And our answer to them is that your statute doesn't allow for it. And their question of us is, then can't you get the statute changed so that we can purchase like these other political subdivisions do? And we said, okay, we'll try. Well, so that's where we're at right now.
I don't
Representative Kahn.
From the conversations we've had, since I don't see how this puts any language into this, and Mr. Allen, maybe you can point out, I don't see how this puts any new language into the statutes that would allow anything any different. That would make anything.
Mr. Allen, what do you think?
I mean, my position, frankly, is that this looks to me as if it's harmless, looks to me as if it's unnecessary, and I don't, and, you know, in other words, I'm not understanding something. If I'm wrong, it's either harmful or necessary. So I just would like to be convinced of one of those two things.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, I don't believe it is either harmful or necessary.
So it's not harmful.
I mean, if this passes, we can live with it. We can make it work. I don't think it's of vital interest to the state that it passes. But if it does, we'll work with it. If it doesn't, we'll continue to offer to work with these gentlemen if their contracts meet the requirements of Minnesota law.
Mr. Chair, is that the definition of damned by faint praise?
That was pretty close, Representative
Chair.
Representative Brad.
Thank you. I do think that this language may need some work. We'd be happy to do that. I don't think it's repeat. I don't think it's duplicative. I think it firms up language in regards to these entities. I do find it interesting that the language is not necessary, as indicated by Mr. Allen, as he was a party to writing the language. So I think that is interesting in and of itself. So I would suggest that maybe we need to do a little bit more work on the language to make sure it's really getting at what we want to get. Representative, you bring up some very good points, and I appreciate those points. I'd be happy to continue working on the language. We would like to move the bill forward, to get it to Ways and Means, to get rid of the fiscal note, because I think actually what we've done in terms of limiting it has done a significant effort towards that. And I'd be happy to work with you, Representative Kahn, also along the way in the next couple days, if we could do that.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kahn.
I think we get, with the amendment, the Department of Administration says there are no fiscal implications to this. I think we're rid of the fiscal note. And so I don't understand why it has to, you know, I think you could lay the bill over here until you work out what you want to do and why you have to have, Ways and Means has an awfully full schedule, and why you have to have this. I'm not on Ways and Means, so you can be rest assured you will not have to have this conversation with me again. Well, maybe someone else will.
Well, Representative Kahn, one of the things that occurred before you got to the meeting today was that the chair, before he handed the gavel over, announced that this was the last meeting of this committee for the year. So I don't think he would appreciate our chair.
But he's not here.
Representative Rhodes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, just a question about, do you get involved in reverse bidding on some of these issues as well?
Mr. Allen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rhodes, you're directing that to me?
Anyone can answer.
The alliance.
Well, we'll take it from both of you. How's that?
We do reverse auctions on a large number of our bids, yes. We've had the authority to do it for a couple of years, but you'll probably remember last year this committee was extremely interested in that issue and pressed us hard to use it more aggressively, and we've been doing that, and we've been saving a large amount of money for the state.
Mr. Chairman, how does that affect what this would do with his group?
Mr. Allen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rhodes, normally we wouldn't be using the reverse auction in these multiple award situations. So looking at Brenda to see if she's agreeing or disagreeing. You want to comment, perhaps?
Yes.
Ms. Willard, welcome to the committee. Please give us your name. And
my name is Brenda Willard, and I'm the acquisitions manager for the Department of Administration Materials Management. We are looking for good candidates on the multiple awards, so it could happen. My biggest concern with this bill is the way, depending on how this is written, if they're not bidding against our competition. We sent out a solicitation. Vendors responded to that solicitation with terms, conditions, specifications, all the requirements. If all of a sudden we awarded that, these vendors think, you know, if we award to five different vendors, they think we're competing against five vendors. If all of a sudden one of these groups come in and say, here's 20 more or here's 10 more contract vendors that had different terms, different conditions, different requirements, that had just a totally different bid package, is that really fair to throw those 5, 10, 20 vendors on our contract, offering it to the agencies when it's totally different contract requirements or different legal requirements? Maybe they had lower insurance requirements. Maybe they had different indemnification. They're indemnifying that group instead of us. There's many different considerations. And some of why we put a fiscal note on is because we would have to look through every one of their contracts to scope through what is in the best interest of the state. Does that contract compare to our contract? You know, there's just so many determinations that it is not an easy task. It is something we would have to go through a thorough research. I've looked at some of theirs, and it's very, very hard to determine what was even spec'd, what was even provided. We looked at their bid package. Their bid package in one case didn't have specs. And then we look at their contract. It's very hard. We had to contact the vendor that entered into their contract to even determine what was on it. So it was very confusing. It would take us time to research each one of these contracts to see if it's in the best interest of the state to include that in the multiple award. Now, I would love to work with them and work with them if they bid it out to say this is what they should bid out, and if it was the same thing, we would be 100% happy to add that if it was in the best interest of the state. But in a lot of these cases, I think we're talking apples and oranges. And I don't think that's, agencies do not have time to do that research. They might see this and say, this is wonderful to go to this, you know, group and to issue a contract. They have no idea of what's the difference in the liability, what's the difference in the conditions. And these are the things that our office really needs to do the research and make a determination if it's best value for the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman, if I can continue.
Representative Rhodes.
Let me give you a hypothetical. If you put an RFP out for XYZ, whatever the issue is, it's identical to what you provide to them as you provide to your vendors, then they have to subscribe exactly as it's written. Is that fair to say?
Ms. Willard.
Representative Rhodes, in a request for proposal, sometimes you're asking them for a solution, so you might have a little different, you might have certain requirements, but they could come back with a solution that's different. In a bid, we state this is our conditions.
Right.
Everyone has to meet every one of our terms and
so
conditions
they would have
and specifications.
To, Mr. Chairman, then they would have to
Representative Rhodes.
Also abide by that same thing. It seems to me that I think what the problem is that basically President Budd wants to give a little more opening, the department wants to keep it a little more controlled, from my take. And I don't know anything about these guys, and I don't know how you do it, but I would say if you put a bid out, you put a bid out.
Yeah.
And so, where am I wrong here?
Just to show my incredible faith in our terrific staff, Mark, could you, this is Shepard, could you in 3 minutes rewrite this so that the bid is entered at the same time as other bids are entered? Is there an easy way to do that in this bill,
Mr. Schaefer? Mr. Chairman, members, and again, I'm not positive how that would fit into the intent of the bill. I think I could add a phrase to that effect if Representative Broad feels like that is the direction that she wants the bill to go.
Mr. Shepard,
Representative Rhodes,
just put in there. That they have to bid with the same time frame and the same stuff. I mean, that just tells them that they got to get their act together to be just as good as everybody else.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Representative Broad, I don't know if that's what you want.
Mr.
Nunes, would you wish to respond?
I do it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rhodes, again, I'd like to point out to you that you're doing this backwards, right? The National Joint Powers Alliance is not interested in going in and bidding all 50 states and four foreign countries' bid requirements. We're not going to do that. What we're interested in doing is offering you contracts that we have bid nationally and have better prices than the state of Minnesota has. And we are willing to sit with the Department of Administration, as the bill indicates here, and prove to the state of Minnesota that we've met the requirements that the state of Minnesota has for us.
But now, sir, I don't want to interrupt you, but I think if I read the bill,
Senator Rhodes,
the bill says that you're going to do just what you said you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to protect you because I think you could save the state some money. The question is, you got to save the state money on equal footing with everybody else, and that's what this says. If I'm reading this correctly, and you tell me where it says that you can't compete with the state, in a sense. Because I think that's what it says here.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rhodes, line 11. When consistent with the section, the commissioner shall expand the choices available to agencies by recognizing contracts bid by national purchasing alliances. What we're talking about here are contracts that the state hasn't bid.
Right, you know that, but it has been. Read on line 15 to be eligible.
Representative Rhodes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. To be eligible for such multiple award contracts, the cooperative association acquisition methods must comply with the requirements of this chapter and sections. And if Mr. Shepard, isn't that sections lay out exactly how they have to comply?
Mr. Shepard?
Mr. Chair and members, the specific sections, Mr. Representative Rhodes, that are mentioned there are 16B121, et cetera. Those have to do with environmental factors and purchasing and with the requirement for certain businesses to have an affirmative action plan under the human rights
and
law.
And so, Mr. Chairman, Representative Rhodes, Shepard, I think that says to me that they have to comply to those things. Unless I'm not understanding this.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rhodes, yes, you're right, but the truth of the matter is, unless and until a state agency head requests a purchase from us, then there will be no requirement, okay? The Department of Administration is not required to review any of our contracts unless one of its agencies wants a purchase from us. So that's the difference in the two ways that we're looking at it.
I think that's what I'm reading here.
Representative Brad.
I think the difference is one word, bid to or bid by. If we were to write bid to, for example, the state of Minnesota, then yes, that would be falling within all the parameters already set forth within the bid process. But bid by just means that the state of Minnesota can recognize their bids. They don't necessarily mean that they're bid to the state of Minnesota. I guess that's the difference that I see, and I don't know, Representative Rhodes, if I'm actually attacking your question correctly.
Representative Rhodes, thank you. Representative Broad, it says say bid to on line 13. Contracts bid to purchase
the
oil.
Representative Rhodes, that was deleted in the amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. And that's why this, okay, I'm sorry. You answered your question well.
Well, members, I have no desire as the minority lead to conduct the longest meeting of the entire session. So I think what we need to do here, since Representative Broad has indicated a willingness and to work with the Department of Administration on further refining this language, and since also there clearly needs, in light of the amendment, to be some revision of the fiscal note, and I don't think we can say at this point with certainty whether that would render the fiscal note zero or something between where it is now and zero. The chair is going to move that this bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means without further recommendation, and hopefully you can work out these problems between now and when the bill would be heard in that committee, Representative Broad.
I will. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will definitely work with the department, and also I will contact Representative Kahn and anybody else on the committee who has further interest in clarifying the language.
Are there Representative Kahn.
If we have an amendment now to clarify the language, why don't we put it on?
Well, Representative Kahn, do you wish to offer an amendment? I don't know that we have an amendment that clarifies the language.
If there's one that's written, I will. Let's ask our staff if there is one that clarifies the language.
Mr. Chair, members, at the risk of confusing things, as I understood the testimony, I could suggest something that would clarify the language in the way that you suggested,
yes.
But that was something that the witness said would defeat what they were trying to accomplish with the bill. And so I wasn't sure if that would...
Well, why don't you read the language and let's try it.
Mr. Chair, as I understand what Representative Kahn, what you were suggesting would be that you would add... The current amendment reads that when it's consistent with 16C, the commissioner would expand the choices by recognizing contracts bid by a national purchasing alliance domiciled in Minnesota. As I understood what you were adding, Representative Kahn, you would add to that that you would recognize contracts that were bid by this purchasing alliance at the time the contract is bid by other vendors to whom the contract is awarded. So it would... As my understanding, that's what you were sort of requiring them to have bid it contemporaneous with the other people who were bidding on the...
But don't you think...
Representative Kahn?
Mr. Chairman, don't you think that in order to be consistent with Section C.06, Subdivision 4, which is the general purchasing things that would have to be happen? I think with the language we have in the bill, that would still have to happen.
Well, Representative Kahn, are you saying then that there's no necessity for the amendment because it's already in the bill, or I'm not?
I'm saying that we'll make it clearer so that there isn't any ambiguity. I don't think that there's, I think that that's what has to happen when I read all of the language that's in that paragraph. But I'm saying if there is ambiguity, let's make it clear that that's what happens so that we don't have to have a duplicative looking at contracts and a duplicative, and that the person who puts a bid in then has to, person who puts the bid in, you know, then probably signs something saying that they're in agreement with all of these things. And so it just means that the same analysis which would happen if they came afterwards would happen at the start. So you just have one analysis, and I think it makes the fiscal note go to zero real fast.
Representative Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kahn, I think there's a little bit of difference in the way these things are bid, and I'm no expert. Maybe if you're further interested, I can get Mr. Nidas to talk about that. But it's my understanding that the state does things is that they go out and say, I need five copy machines. And so they bid five copy machines, whereas the Joint Alliance would say, okay, I need 35 million dollars worth of copy machines, and then essentially that's creating an open door for X number of copy machines, which is unknown. So you have an open bid essentially that is out there until those copy machines are gone through the acquisition process, and that probably doesn't help clarify things much more.
But,
there's a little bit of a difference.
Representative Kahn.
They then have that bid so they can just add it on to the state's bid. I mean, it's just as if someone said, when someone wants to get a copy machine from them, they don't say, I want X number of copy machines. They say, I want one copy machine, and this is what our bid is. So they would just put whatever that number is. I understand that they use a different process, but at the end of that process, they get a number per copy machine.
Mr. Chair, and that's exactly what this bill does.
Can we try eBay?
Get to the point of being willing to try almost anything, Representative.
I want to move the amendment that just been described.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Sir.
Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chair, the amendment that the committee previously adopted added the phrase, by a national purchasing alliance domiciled in Minnesota, so that the commissioner would expand the choices by recognizing contracts bid by a national purchasing alliance domiciled in Minnesota. Representative Kahn's amendment would add at the end of that, at the time the contract is bid by other vendors to whom the contract is awarded. So it would require that the national purchasing alliance would have to be there at the beginning when the contract is first awarded. They could not come in later.
What does the author want to do, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to consider that amendment, but I also would like to have some further discussions with both the Alliance and the Department as to the effect or non-effect of doing so. So at this time, I would request the committee not put the amendment on it, but I would certainly be happy to look at the effects of that. I think that there's just some missing of exact points going on here, and I want to make sure that we're not additionally doing that. So I'd be happy to look at that language, but I would request the committee do it off at this time.
Well, I mean, I think the
Representative
most,
Kahn.
You know, I think the more appropriate way to do would be to put it on so that we're sure that we have this level playing field that we all think is important. And if you discover it doesn't work in the conversation, ways and means where I won't be, so it'll be very easy to deal with. And I promise I won't even come to it. And I think you'll have no problem amending it if you can get an agreeable amendment.
Mr.
But
Chair.
I don't think you want this whole discussion starting again in ways and means.
Representative Stern.
If you're assuming the gavel today, I'll assume the role of Representative Seifert and say vote, vote, vote.
So,
Mr.
Chair, I'd like to make a motion to
Yes, I think that we have come to that, Representative Strand. Representative Kahn has moved the amendment as was read a few moments ago by Mr. Shepherd. Does anyone want to hear that repeated before we vote?
Mr. Chairman? We are talking about Representative Kahn's amendment.
Representative Kahn's amendment.
I was confused.
Previous amendment has already been adopted.
That's correct.
All right. All those in favor of the Kahn amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Opposed.
The chair is a dog. All those in favor of the Kahn amendment, please raise your hand. Those opposed? Amendment is adopted. Then to the bill. If there's no further discussion, the chair renews his motion that that House File 2905 as amended be referred without recommendation to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion prevails. And Representative Broad, thank you very much.
Jim, are you going to survive?
Is there any further business before the committee?
I got my medication.
And this meeting is adjourned.